Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
I do appreciate that you guys really buy in when we go to the question of the day. We were talking about the idea of how you handle a bad loss. And some of y'all are just well adjusted. I appreciate you. Somebody was like, I haven't let bad losses affect me for quite a while. They said after the 19 World Series and after Bill O'Brien lost the Chiefs up 24 points, they're like, I'm done letting those affect me. I'm like, good God, I'm glad you got to that place. Somebody else is like, I go read a book.
Yeah.
Another person was like, I go watch the brisket cook. Like, God bless you folks finding the ways to handle it.
Had one say, I have angry fun time with my girl.
God bless. Hey, man, if that's available to you, get you some endorphins. Get your rocks off, all that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, God bless you. God bless you all. Hope that you're handling a 34-7 loss to the Vikings well. But let's go around the NFL here, which is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution, reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. Q-U-I-C-K-S-Y-S-T. That's Quick Assist, your tickets everywhere. All right, man. Over the course of the weekend, we got some interesting news, but... let's start with what ultimately happened with the Panthers, because they decided to make that shift last week, and there was a lot of talk about it and consternation and, you know, hand wringing and all of that. But Andy Dalton, 36-year-old Andy Dalton, the pride of Katy, Texas, got his opportunity to take the helm for the Panthers, and they got a pretty big win against Las Vegas Raiders team that I'm not gonna lie, I don't view them to be all that good. However, I didn't think that it was a 36-22 type thing if you put Andy Dalton in there. And I think the more important thing, as opposed to like that score, Andy Dalton, 26-37 for 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. He is the only quarterback to have 300 yards and 3 touchdowns this season. Period. Right? Like, he is the only one. So there you go. Andy Dalton, by some metrics, best quarterback in the league.
Well, I mean, look, man, some of our longtime listeners will go back to a time when I thought Andy Dalton, I never said he was great or elite, but was very good, and it became kind of a running thing on this show. But he also showed not just that he can still dial that up, but how bad Bryce Young was. Like, this, look, the Raiders, I'm with you, even though, don't ask me how I know this, you know, it might have been a week to pick the Raiders in a survivor pool and get eliminated in week 3. But, look, he got it done and showed exactly what this team is capable of. And Bryce Young had never done that. It just made it look even better for him and worse for Bryce.
Yeah, and I mean, it really is hard to not take everything that is said about Andy Dalton or about this particular win for the Panthers and not then look over at Bryce Young and be like, right? Deontay Johnson, who in his own right had a fantastic day, and I imagine he was very happy about that. 14 targets, 8 receptions for 122 yards and a touchdown for that wide receiver. He said that Andy Dalton provided, quote, a vet presence. Just having a quarterback there to get us in position, score, execute plays. We just did a great job of staying locked in. Every play called, we made the most of it. And again, you look over at Bryce Young, he's like, huh, okay,
yeah,
so you just,
exactly.
you couldn't get them in position, you couldn't execute plays, and that's got to be a tough place, because Bryce Young, he's handled this all about as well as you possibly could expect them to. It's just the play has been so bad comparatively.
And I'm going to bring this back to the Texans quickly here, because you know what else that was? They benched the number one overall pick 2 games into the season. They made the call.
Uh-oh.
And it was a message to the entire team.
He's looking at you, 78.
Yeah, I am, absolutely. That's why I want to go back to that. And we'll revisit it. This is around the NFL, but I'm saying that's the kind of thing that can happen. It can sort of rally the teams. It can put them all on notice. Hey, everyone is short-term if they don't get the job done.
Somebody said 281 Panthers coaches save their jobs, show they can coach. Yeah, man, I saw a video of Dave Canales getting into the locker room, and he was high.
Yes, he was
high. In fact, they stuck the game ball in his chest, saying, hey, man, you got it done. And I was just like watching that whole scene as he's listing off all the accomplishments of dudes and talking about them, you know, getting the job done and the standard being the standard. I'm just like, who has the camera on wherever Bryce Young is in the locker room at this moment, right? Like, and I'm glad that they didn't put it on him because he didn't deserve that. However, everything that the Panthers do is going to be filtered through the lens of, huh, all
right,
Bryce.
He got to get traded, though, right?
I don't know. Not during the season. But
No, they ain't going to trade him this season. But next year is definitely going to be if they're a bad team and they got, like, a top three pick, they got to be thinking about a quarterback.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Speaking of accountability on the other side of that game, the Las Vegas Raiders had a 36-22 loss to the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Antonio Pierce, once an interim, now officially the head coach of that team, apparently was sending shots to his team, right? When you talk about accountability, he was doing that. He said, quote, as the game went on, I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions and we'll make business decisions going forward as well. Do you like this from a head coach?
Huh. Love it. I mean, think about what
he
I've just
sound like he played in the league at one
yes,
point.
Yes,
right?
He did. He sure did.
Yes, it does. And that's exactly what you want to hear from your head coach. And he's talking about Davante Adams, right?
I mean, it's possible.
What was the business decision?
I mean, Davante Adams.
I want to see the play.
Yeah, when asked about that, he said, I feel like I don't know that it's tough for me to identify that. When he said, I'm not sure. Just when Pierce's comments of players making business decisions came up. So sounds like they have a great relationship when it comes to your star wide receiver and the head coach. I'm interested to see how the Raiders do, because I always am wary of the what I believe to be oftentimes a mistake of making the interim the head coach.
Yeah,
they went
agree.
Ahead and did that, and it was Pierce came in with all the energy. He was kind of the beloved guy by the players, but as of right now, you have quotes like that coming in week three. Like, you do wonder if that relationship or if that feeling of the vibes isn't there. I know that he's a defensive guy. Is that going to be enough to carry this thing
through? Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not just the interim thing. I'm in lockstep with you. I think in today's NFL, offensive minded guys have been much more successful. But I like what he said there, and I think he was talking to specific players, and they know who they are.
So as we continue around the NFL, a few comebacks happened in the course of this week, but I don't know if there was one that was more surprising to me than the injury bowl that we seem to be watching between the Niners and the Los Angeles Rams. At one point, the Niners were handling up their business, and I was like, all right, I don't have to watch this anymore. Nope, the Rams made their way all the way back to the point where Sean McVay entered his post-game availability like this.
All right, holy. Yeah. No, that was what a job by our group. Just continuing to battle, continuing to fight. And, you know, there's a lot of guts. There's a lot of resilience in this group. And it's just one game. But I'm really proud of them.
That game was out of control, it looked like. But it was one of those, like you and I were talking during a break, even as bad as the Texans were at 14-0, I was sitting there going, well, maybe if something happens, you know, whatever. That game, it did happen.
14-0.
Yeah, that
right?
game, it did happen. And the Rams all of a sudden took advantage of it.
They were down 14 in the second half, especially, and the Rams were able to come back and win. I mean, one of the interesting things is I thought that maybe the most dynamic player in this game was Juwan Jennings for the Niners. He had quite a few incredible catches, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns in a loss. Like, I imagine that's got to be one of those things where you walk into the locker room and maybe you don't say it out loud, but in your mind you go, I ain't lose, y'all lost. You know what I mean? Like, 175 and 3 touchdowns, I did my part.
Yeah. What's the matter with you guys?
Right. But I found that to be amazing because, I mean, like, you had so many injuries in the course of this. The Rams did not have Nacua, did not have Cooper Kupp, as the Niners also had quite a few players missing. But still, the Niners now find themselves 1-2 along with those Los Angeles Rams. And I can maybe see and understand why the Rams had a tough season thus far. The Niners, one of those teams that we looked at as maybe one of the few teams that we felt confident about being a good football team headed in. And I think it points again to the idea that I've kind of developed, which is I don't think there's an elite team in the NFL as right now.
I'm telling you, man. Niners are 1-2. Ravens are 1-2. Dolphins are 1-2. It's just all across where some teams are either underperforming or Cowboys are 1-2. They're underperforming or just this league is just there's no elite team.
Yeah, and so I'm just amazed by that particular one. And so was Sean McVay, a dude who's usually like relatively chill, came into his press conference just cussing up a storm to start this thing up. All right, as we continue around the NFL, a team that I know is not elite, but a player that very well might be, Malik Nabers.
Ooh.
I mean, early on, it's been very apparent. At first game, they didn't really learn their lesson, but after that, they figured out what it is, which is get the ball to that guy. As he became the first player in league history to record, get this, 20 receptions, 250 receiving yards, and three or more touchdown catches in their first three games. He's had, in this game that they played this weekend, 8 receptions on 12 targets, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns, and that's on a team that is quarterbacked by Daniel Jones.
And just mossing guys. Like some of the catches he makes are not just like, oh, he had some good numbers. It's like, oh, no, very few people can do what he's doing. It's going to be, he's exactly what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
And maybe more.
Yeah, man. He has been incredible, continuing the lineage of incredible wide receivers out of LSU. But yeah, the Giants ultimately getting a 21-15 victory over the Cleveland Browns, where Deshaun Watson actually tossed the ball around a little bit, but he did not do it for a very good average, 5.3 yards per attempt. Did have a couple of touchdowns. It does feel like everything that the Browns do now offensively is, can we manage Deshaun Watson, which is not the way you want to go with a $230 million quarterback.
Yeah.
8 sacks. Was it 8?
I think it was
8 sacks.
8 sacks, yeah. 48 yards.
Yeah.
I know it was 7 very early.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that offensive line is bad. The quarterback is bad.
He's a mess.
Man.
He is an absolute mess.
And that's with him throwing a couple touchdowns, right? Like, well,
but you say that. I'm sorry, but you say that, but I think his season yards per attempt is like real low.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
real low.
He's not useful as like a quarterback that can really sit there and run an offense to real effect. Honestly, his best usage, the best way he's been utilized during the course of this very early season is by sitting back there and then scrambling. Like, then doing the scramble drill, changing the numbers where now you're having to defend 11 as opposed to 10 and using his legs. That's really been the best of it, and that's not sustainable. So, yeah, best of luck to the Browns, who are dealing with, I mean, somebody that is very clearly damaged goods.
He hasn't thrown for more than 5.5 yards per attempt in any game this year.
Gross. That is just...
That's awful.
Flat out.
Yeah, especially for what he's getting paid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear those numbers if you're getting paid that much.
Mm-hmm.
Other things around the NFL. I found this one interesting. This was going to be... this was a very good game when it came to Eagles-Saints. And down in New Orleans, that was just a tough, hard-fought game. It was interesting to see, especially because the Saints had been, you know, moving the ball pretty well. Now, of course, I imagine that that's tough for those teams that they moved the ball against, because it was the Panthers who, okay.
Yeah.
But then it was also the Cowboys who, yeah, maybe not. Maybe that defense is kind of boo-boo. but then because they they came up against the Eagles, and the Eagles made it really, really tough on the Saints to move the ball. But ultimately, the Saints get the victory. And one of the things that was interesting about that is after the game, where Jalen Hurts had, you know, tough game, a couple of ugly turnovers, Jalen Carter, near the end of this game, was, like, seen on the sidelines, jawing at the defensive players, like Tyrann Mathieu and some of the other folks for the Saints, jawing at the, you know, various Saints fans in the stands, and also at one point seemed to be arguing with Nick Sirianni. And I still don't have a good insight into what got Jalen Carter going, but he was just mad. He had to be held back. You remember Big Dom over there?
Yeah.
Apparently this is his job, is to make sure that big old Jalen Carter don't hurt nobody. But yeah, he was just out there yelling at folks, and I was like, I don't understand what's happening, but it's very evident that there's something is happening.
Big Dom was looking for a camera to get in front of. He does a lot of that. I don't feel like the Sirianni thing was really at him as much as like trying to
get him to calm down.
Yeah, just trying to yell. No, both sides were yelling and trying to make their point. But that was not the best look in the world for old Jalen.
Yeah, I still have no idea what exactly set him off, but he was jawing at everybody. And one of the things I found interesting is him being a defensive tackle jawing at the other defender. Like, usually you see those opposite teams. That butt heads is like an offensive player and a defensive player because they've been matching up.
Yeah.
I was like, what do those two dudes have to be yelling at each other about? But I guess ultimately they're going to be happy because the Eagles got out of there with a victory and maybe put a little damper on the idea of the Saints as incredible team. Although, look, good teams lose too. I want to make that clear that I understand that. But yeah, again, pointing to the idea that there might not be an elite team around the league, and from the 8-2, the Vikings could be elite. And you know what?
Hey, they beaten the Niners and the Texans, and 3-0,
and made both of them look kind of bad in doing it.
Yes,
too.
Yes, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you mentioned the near miss with the Cowboys. I mean, that's a dead man walking right there at head coach, isn't it?
Oh, with Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it.
In order for him to keep his job, they have to win in the playoffs, and that is not like a team.
They're not even getting to the playoffs at this point.
Even if they find some wins in the regular season, that's not a team that can win in the playoffs. Yeah. So that's very clear. Like, the defense wasn't good on any stretch, and then the offense, gross. Like, they have two dudes on offense, which is the quarterback and that one wide receiver, and maybe the tight end, right?
Yeah.
One more thing. Sam Darnold is apparently undergoing an MRI. You saw him during the course of the Texans game. Have to deal with that knee. Came out for one play in which Nick Mullins made his resurgence onto an NFL field to put the ball in a running back's gullet.
Yeah.
And then come out to allow Sam Darnold to return. Which, how interesting was it that Sam Darnold, a dude who was not anticipated to be the starter in this season, had a standing ovation after missing one play?
Oh, of course. It's very telling. And you know, we talked about it a little bit, but one thing about Sam Darnold that you don't realize, not only has he had this resurgence and this great game, he's really not old. He's not that old a guy. I want to say he's younger than Joe Burrow. If things are getting unlocked, it's in a good thing for him. And then the other thing I wanted to mention that was really, really interesting, and we'll get into this more when we look at the division. How about Malik Willis? How about Malik Willis with the team that drafted him and taking him to the woodshed? I mean, that was something.
Yeah, he didn't make too much of it, though. But that's around the NFL here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Don't forget that it is brought to you by Quick Assist. Appreciate you hanging out with us after an unfortunate 34-7 drubbing of your Texans by the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. Coming up next, this will be interesting. I have established as a little bit of a standard, who hooped, as an opportunity about. Yeah, who hooped, who played well for the Texans. Let's see if we can get that off the ground here today after was a very disappointing loss. Who hooped? Who actually showed well in a disappointing Texas loss? 713-572-4610. Let's do that next.